Across Northeast Dublin, your voice here.
I'm joined now by my first guest. So, earlier this year, the Minister of State in the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine, with responsibility for forestry, quite a long title, Senator Pippa Hackett, she launched a new publication called Wood as a Fuel. And a compromise, it comprises of five volumes of books, and it's been written by Peter D. Kaufman and Eugene Hendrick. And I'm delighted to be joined now this morning by Eugene Hendrick to talk to us about the books and about wood as a fuel. Hello, how are you, Eugene? Lovely to have you on board today.
Good morning, Adrian.
So, tell us about the books. I mean, it's a newly published book of five volumes. You'd be thinking, gosh, how come there's five volumes required for this topic? But also, it's a strange topic when we're talking about climate change. You think we're going away from fuels, well, I suppose fossil fuels. So maybe if you can tell us about what made you write it in the first place, and then wood as a fuel itself.
Okay, Adrian, well, basically, as you said, it's five volumes, so it covers all aspects of wood as a fuel. So, you know, it's obviously a long history of use of wood by, you know, mankind, and it's one of the main enablers of civilization, actually. So that's outlined. A lot of that's outlined in volume one. But there's a lot of practical stuff as well around, you know, proper use of wood fuels, and they're outlined in, but that's outlined in volumes two, three, and four. So probably more for your listeners, volume two deals with firewood, you know, proper use of firewood, importance of using firewood that's properly dried and graded and so on. And then there's two other volumes dealing with pellets and wood pellets. You might be familiar with wood pellets and use in stoves, etc. And then there's wood chip, which is used sort of in more commercial applications. So wood chip is basically when you get a tree or a stem, and you can chip it up into smaller pieces, and it's easier then to combust it in, you know, particularly for commercial applications and heating. So you asked about, you know, this, you know, climate change. If you want me to deal with that, Adrian, I can just outline a bit about it. So actually, wood fuel is recognized, and bioenergy in general, as one of the ways that we're going to try to meet the 1.5 degrees, you know, the constrained temperature increase to 1.5 degrees or below, you know, and for, you know, zero emissions by mid-century. So it basically is that wood, if it's sourced from sustainably managed forests, you know, will be, and displacing fossil fuels like coal, oil, and gas, etc., will, you know, reduce the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere in the long run, which is the main, of course, main greenhouse gas.
And how is that?
So it's got a big role to play, and this has been identified by, you know, you probably heard, you know, obviously we're just COP26 is just finished in Glasgow, so you'd have heard about the, you know, the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, and a lot of acronyms flying around, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. But the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change is basically a scientific body that advises the UN, the convention. So they've said that, you know, in order to get to the, you know, to become carbon neutral for the, you know, in by mid-century, we need to use bioenergy. Otherwise, it won't happen, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's in the system, if you like, you know. So we have to, you know, increase actually the use of wood biomass.
Yes, from your books, you basically challenge some of the current misunderstandings of the impact of sustainable wood fuel. I mean, to my understanding, or when I read the article and that you'd brought out these publications, these books, I kind of thought, well, that went against what we're trying to do with climate change. But I suppose we're trying to get rid of fossil fuels. But I mean, really, to me, if you're burning wood, or you're having a fire or whatever, you know, are they not the same? Well, not the same degree, I suppose, but there are different emissions that are going up into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all carbon dioxide when you combust the, you know, fuels. You know, but But the difference between, say, burning a fossil fuel and burning wood is that wood is sourced from, you know, what we call the biosphere, you know, basically growing plants and trees mainly, of course. Mm. So that material, that carbon dioxide that goes up into the atmosphere is recaptured by the growing trees, you know, so it's taken back in. So it's a cycle, basically, within the biosphere. Whereas when you're dealing with a fossil fuel, it's basically you're taking it out, obviously, with oil or coal or whatever. It's an extractive exercise, and it doesn't go back in. Well, it goes back in, but it takes, you know, millions of years, obviously, to get it back into the, you know, into the what we call the lithosphere, the rocks and so on, the reservoirs of those fossil fuels. So, and the time that it takes for the carbon to come back in, you know, to be recaptured out of the atmosphere, it depends on, you know, a lot, you know, what type of you know, fossil fuel you're displacing, you know, when you're doing the calculations. But it's also where you take the wood from is really, really important. So the key principle is that you don't use, you know, wood for energy. You don't use wood that's fit for other uses, because, for example, wood that's fit for construction timber, you know building houses, etc., because that keeps the carbon in, you know, it stores it up for, you know, for decades, even centuries in some cases. So you know, it's you use the smaller material, the what are called thinnings, but they come out of the forest typically between any time between ages 15 to 25, and they're not
fit,
generally they're not fit
it?
For anything else other than firewood. But you need to take them out, because to get the better trees to grow, you know, faster and so on.
Right.
You know, it's part
mm-hmm.
of normal forest management. So that's one source. And then that can come back in, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. You can recapture the carbon that was lost, and the lost growth as well, you know, because you've less trees. But all of that can be recaptured in 5, 6, 7 years. And once you do that, and if you do it on a sort of if you look at the accounts on a national basis, you know, once that time period has happened, every extra ton of CO2 that you take out of forests in place of fossils, fossil fuel, it you know, it's a permanent reduction. You know, so you're reducing. You know, you know every ton that you emit through fossil fuel that you're replacing with biomass. It's a permanent reduction in the atmosphere. So, and then if you use residues, like when you finally fell a forest, you know, there's branches and tops and so on, and you have to be careful not to take, you know, you let the needles and the leaves drop off or whatever it is, but then you can use that material as well, and that gives a very, very quick payback. It's less than a year in some cases. So, and you know, because it's going back to the atmosphere anyway. So there's a lot of work being done on it, and it's all outlined in the book in volume 5. But essentially, it shows that you know, that wood biomass, if sustainably sourced, is a way to displace fossil fuels, and a way to, you know, to get to the carbon neutrality goal that we're all seeking by mid-century, you know.
Yes. Now, I believe volume 4 covers all aspects of, especially wood pellets, where they provide, they're a popular way of heating homes, I suppose, the wood pellets.
They are.
So how do people go about sourcing these? Are they available everywhere, or are they easy to come by?
Yeah, they're available everywhere. There are two companies in Ireland that are manufactured, and they're manufactured on the island. There's one in the Midlands in County Laois, and there's one in Northern Ireland in Fermanagh. So they're made on the island, so they're available, you know, pretty much everywhere. They're delivered, you know, you can buy them in single bags, either 10 or 15 kilo bags, or you can buy them in bulk. And you can store them then. You need to store them in an outside shed that's well ventilated.
Yes.
But they're an excellent fuel, and, you know, they're very clean fuel, and quite competitive in price at the moment with oil, actually.
And what about now, In recent years, the log burner has really become a popular thing in homes, you know, just even for their aesthetic, you know, they look so lovely, you know, and people are burning logs in those. What's the story with that? And, you know, I think an awful lot of people are just going, buying bags of logs, and, you know, sometimes you see them and they're coming in and they're wet. You know, so whereas you say in your book you have to have the right wood and the and it has to be dry in order for it to be safe, is it?
Yeah, that's true. There's a couple of things there. First of all, well, it's actually volume two that deals with firewood. But anyway, so you need to have wood, you know, obviously it needs to be dry when you burn it. So what we mean by dry in this case is that it needs to have a certain what we call moisture content. So, you know, the moisture content at the moment that we, I'm involved with an organization called Wood Fuel Quality Assurance, WFQA.org, which independently certifies wood to be, you know, of a certain moisture content, firewood, and it also certifies pellets and chip, but for firewood. So you need to have it at least 25% moisture content or less. So next year, you probably heard there's regulations going to be coming in about, you know, the sale of firewood, and it'll have to be 25% moisture content or less. And that's important for two reasons. The first reason is that when you burn wet wood, you get a lot of emissions. You know, it's just common sense. You get a lot of smoke and particulates and so on. So the drier the wood, the better. So it'll burn, you know, better. It's easier to light, and it'll burn, you know, give you more heat. Because when you have wet wood, you're basically trying to burn off water, a lot of water first. So before you get any heat out of the fire or whatever from the fuel, you have to burn off that water. So, you know, the drier the wood, to some extent, the better. So 25%, you know, you get more heat. So there's two reasons to say. You get more heat, first of all, from a given, you know, piece of wood if it's drier. And secondly, you get less, you know, smoke and dust and particles off it. So it's really vitally important that people burn dry firewood, you know, for those reasons, for their own comfort and to reduce the emissions, the particulates that come off combustion. And 25%, there's a huge difference between, you know, say wood at 35% and wood at 25% in the amount of heat you get out of it and the amount of smoke and particulates that will come off it. So in our organisation, the Wood Fuel Quality Assurance Scheme, which is part of the Irish Bioenergy Association, but we're advocating for to move to 20% moisture content for firewood, and that's also part of the government's plans to over the from 2022-2024. The aim is to reduce the, you know, wood for sale would have to be at 20% or less.
And does this help with emissions? Does this help with emissions by it being drier?
It has a huge impact on emissions. You know, you can have a factor of 3 or 4 times less emissions coming off dry wood than you would have off wet wood, you know? Mm. So it's really, really important for that reason.
So the likes of the garage that you go to and they don't have the wood covered up properly and you're getting the bags of wet logs, that'll have
exactly.
to be abolished.
So we want to get away from that, yes. you know, as soon as possible. You know, that's really important. So WFQA, if you Google it, WFQA.org, they have a list of suppliers of firewood in the country, and they supply all the wood they would supply is certified by the organisation, and they would... you know, you should look out for that logo, that label on the wood, you know, that it's dry to that, and it will be dry to that extent, 25%. And in fact, some of the suppliers, I chair the Wood Fuel Quality Assurance Scheme, some of the suppliers in that are actually drying the wood to 20% or less, you know. So, yeah, it's a very, very important. And the other one is the whole issue of the appliance, you know. So it's important to use a proper wood stove, you know. Properly designed wood stove, because, you know, the way the wood combusts and so on, you need to have the proper airflow into the appliance to get full combustion of the wood as it's burning, you know, to reduce the amount of smoke and so on and so forth. So that's another way to, you know, dramatically reduce the amount of emissions, the amount of small particles that come off wood when it's burning. So
cleaning the, you know, the wood burner.
Pardon?
Cleaning out the wood burner, or, you know, if it's a fire, cleaning out the chimneys and making sure that that's all clean is a must as well.
Absolutely. You know, you need to get your chimney cleaned. Sometimes you have a flexible flue liner in an existing chimney. That's recommended if you put in a special wood stove. You need to get that cleaned once a year, actually, and, you know, keep the appliance generally clean. But just to say, you don't need to take the ashes out all the time, because wood actually burns very well on ashes, you know, on its own ash. So, you know, you don't need to, just every so often you need to clean it out, you know, whatever, depending on the use of the appliance. So, actually, from this first of January next year, all new appliances, wood burning appliances, need to be complied with called the Eco Design Directive. Eco Design. So that means they have to have a certain level of efficiency. So, you know, the efficiency of wood stoves, proper wood stoves, is, you know, over 80%. So you get 80% of the energy that's in the wood back into in heating. Whereas with an open fire, you're only talking about 30, 35, 40%, you know, so it's a huge difference. Yeah. So it makes sense to move to proper wood stoves, properly designed wood stoves.
Gosh, I didn't know that. Now, there's this series of books. There's also a software package that's free to download as well. So how do people get a hold of the books, and how do people download the software?
Okay. So the books are available on Arrow Management. If you Google Arrow Management, AWROW Management, and Wood as a Fuel, you come into the site and you can buy the book there. And the software is basically being written, and it's supported by the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine. So that'll enable you, there's various levels of it. You know, you can look, if you're a wood fuel supplier, or you're a person processing wood, you can look at your costs and your revenues, and you can estimate, you know, your level of profit and so on. But for the general public, you can also, there's a very simple application there. You can put in, you know, what's the cost of your current fuel, what are you using at the moment, and what you're intending to switch to, and give you very nice fuel cost comparisons and so on. So, and it's fairly simple to use. And the email address for the packages is all outlined in the book. That's where you'll find all that useful information.
Good, excellent. Now, before you go, with it being Christmas coming up, there's going to be an awful lot of Christmas trees, so wood. But what do you say about people, you know, how to get rid of the Christmas trees, eco-friendly way of getting rid of the Christmas trees, and should they be actually burning them, or what's the situation there?
Yeah, I think you're better off to get them, you know, being done through your local authority or whatever place, and, you know, they can be chipped and used as mulch, you know. So the thing about, you know, Christmas trees and other trees, it's not a good idea to burn needles, you know, the needles that, you know, on the trees, because the needles are not good for anything in terms of, you know, smoke and particulates. They, you know, you're better off just to burn the wood rather than the needles. Right. What you should do is just take off all the branches, you know, and put them into a compost heap or something or whatever, and you know, just saw the stem, but dry it. Make sure it's dry, you know, before you burn it, because I've outlined already the reasons why you need dry wood. So, and it could take anything up to 6 months to 8 months to dry it.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Cut it into small, you know, lengths of, I don't know, 8-9 inches or whatever, you know, that kind of length, so you can put them into the appliance.
Yeah. So it's not something you'd recommend people taking.
No, I think it's better off to use special, proper wood fuel, you know. But people want to. It can be done, but there's a fair bit of work in it, you know, cutting off the branches and putting them into. You're probably better off to bring it to the local, you know, use it, get it chipped, and it could be used as compost, you know. whatever, mulching.
Be better off then. Yeah. Okay, it's been very interesting talking to you, Eugene, and thanks so much for joining me this morning. I think you've given a lot of food for thought, definitely, with regards to wood and burning it properly and safely to help the planet. Thanks so much, Eugene.
Thank you, Adrienne.
Not at all. Take care.
Across North East Dublin, your voice here.